prayer and good behavior go together. The Bible says the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In Matthew chapter 18, Peter asked the question in verses 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto you, unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. You know, sometimes you and I, we get to the point where we say to ourselves, we have no more to give. And I want to ask the question for the hour. What is the balance in your forgiveness account? What is the balance in your forgiveness account? Peter is saying to Jesus, when should there be a time when there are insufficient funds in my forgiveness account? And Jesus tells him, if you will, that there are never a time well, a Christian forgiveness account should never read insufficient funds. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 22, hear what Jesus said again. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, he begins, then he says in verses 23, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. He said, and when he had begun to settle account, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children, and all that he had, that payment be made. But look what the servant done. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master didn't say, I will give you 6 months to pay what you owe. But notice in verses 27 of Matthew chapter 18, then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. In other words, he moved with compassion and he forgave the man. But look what he done after being forgiven. The Bible says in verse 28, but when that servant went away, he found a servant who owed him $100, and he grabbed the servant, he found and began to choke him. Pay what you owe, he said. Notice his master had compassion on him, but he had no compassion on the person that owed him. The servant he found and began to choke him. Pay what you owe, he said. Now notice the response of that servant. Then that other servant fell at his feet and began and begged him, be patient with me, and I will repay you. He asked the same thing to him that he asked to his master. But the Bible says, but he refused. Instead, he turned away and had that servant put into prison until he will repay what he owed. People like to receive forgiveness, but don't want to give forgiveness. We have to learn how to forgive one another. It's not the magnitude of the sin, but the magnitude of forgiveness. Some of us look at big sin and little sin. Then we decide that we will forgive. God don't view sin like that. God doesn't view sin as big sin and little sin. You can go to hell for murder, and you can go to hell for lying. It all equals out on God's scale. But this servant refused to forgive his servant. And one sin is not greater than another in God's eyesight. Joseph forgave his brothers in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 17. Now some people will say, what would Joseph's brother have done to him? If I was Joseph, I wouldn't have forgave them. Esau forgave his brother in Genesis chapter 33 and verses 4. Somebody would say, boy, if my brother would have done to me like Jacob did to Esau, I tell you, I will not forgive him. But God requires us to forgive one another. We are required to repent, and God will forgive us of our sins. We cannot judge if someone's repentance is genuine, and we are not commanded to tell you what we have done. Somebody said, well, I need to know what you have done if you expect me to forgive you. Now, you don't need to know what I have done. God has required us as brothers and sisters to, in one, repent, to forgive one another. We are not to say to ourselves that your forgiveness, your repentance is not genuine. You can't read another person's mind. You can't read another person's heart. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5, therefore don't judge anything before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will also bring to light what is hidden in the dark, and reveals people's motives. Then each person will receive praise from God. We can't judge another person's heart. We can't say to ourselves, I think this person have done some wrong. We can't do that. Only thing that we can respond to is what we see. For some people, they put sin on the scale with forgiveness, and sin outweighs it. The magnitude of forgiveness will always outweigh the magnitude of sin. It's not about what a person done. It's not about what a person done, whether or not I decide whether or not I'm going to forgive that person. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. And some people will say, which one? But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. He said the wages of sin is death. Which one? All of them. All of them it brings to death. The attitude for some people, forgiveness is not on the table because the magnitude of the sin. That's what Peter was asking Jesus. How long shall forgiveness sit on the table? Well, when there gonna come a time when I can just kick forgiveness off the table and it no longer apply to me? Romans chapter 1 and verse 29, Paul said, but murderers and gossips in the same category. If you remove forgiveness off the table, then God will remove forgiveness off the table when it comes to you and I. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14. If you forgive the failures of others, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Notice what he says. He says, now if you forgive your brother, when you come to your heavenly Father, he will forgive you. Then he says in verse 15, but if you don't forgive others, your Father will not forgive your failures. Notice what he's saying. God said, look, you want me to forgive you, but you have an animosity in your heart against your brother. And so God is saying, you need to go straighten that out with your brother before you come to me asking me to forgive you. King David was an adulterer and a murderer, but forgiveness was still on the table in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 7. When he came to God for forgiveness, God didn't tell David, look, the forgiveness account is insufficient funds. He didn't tell him that. Notice, there was a woman who was caught in adultery, but forgiveness was still on the table in John chapter 8 and verses 3. Now, some of us probably would say to that woman, go away. We're not going to forgive you. But Jesus forgave. Jesus forgave her. Jesus said that the forgiveness account is not insufficient funds. That's why we have prison ministries. Because people are in prison for sin they have committed. And even though some of them will die in prison, forgiveness is still on the table. And all praises be to God for his grace and mercy. We can't tilt our nose up in the air to folk who've been in prison. Just because they locked up and you running around free, the common denominator is this: they have sin and you have sin. But your sin didn't cause you to get locked up. But nevertheless, if you don't repent of that sin can cause you to lose your soul. So we can't look at people and determine whether or not they deserve forgiveness. Forgiveness is not denying a wrong have took place. God is not saying that you got to deny that a wrong have took place. Forgiveness is not denying pain. Somebody said, you don't understand how I feel. You don't understand my pain. But don't you realize that you and I have caused God some pain when we sin? But yet we still look to God for forgiveness. Forgiveness is not forgetting. No, I can't forget. But I don't utilize that as an opportunity to stop loving you. Notice, when the time comes for me to show kindness to someone who have wronged me, and I neglect to do that because I remember the wrong they committed against me, I haven't forgave that person. I have to have compassion. I know some people struggle with forgiveness, but you are allowing the devil to keep you in bondage and telling you God is asking you to do the impossible. I recall one time I was at a grocery store, and the lady, the cashier, was saying to another person, I could never forgive that person. I didn't get in the lady business now. I didn't say, excuse me, what's the problem? I just overheard the conversation. And she said, I could never forgive that person. And I believe that some of us sometimes, In our life, we say the same thing. I could never forgive that person. But all you're doing is putting yourself in bondage. All you're doing is hurting yourself. And I don't deny that somewhere in your life that somebody have wronged you. And I told you that I had some people in my life that have wronged me and hurt me and did some things to me. And since I became a Christian, I thought I'd never run across them. And I told you, I ran across the person. And guess what? A couple of weeks ago, I ran across the person. And you know my first thing was? The duck. I didn't do that, though. I didn't allow the devil to use me. I talked to the person, embraced the person, and I even give the person my card to let them know where I worship at and invited them to church. We got to learn how to forgive and love one another. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, he said, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Notice what he's saying. He said, God's commandment is not hard, it's not burdensome. What makes it difficult for us, we don't want to do what God said do. We want to forgive people who we want to forgive. But God said, you got to forgive anybody who wronged you. He said, God's commandments are not burdensome. And Proverbs 13:15, he said, good understanding give favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. What the devil is not telling you, that forgiveness keep you in fellowship with God, and unforgiveness keep you out of fellowship with God. We got to make the decision. We got to make the decision of whether or not we're going to forgive somebody or not forgive somebody. But the thing about God, God let you know, look, if you're not going to forgive your brother or your sister, I just need you to know that I'm not going to forgive you. Now is that worth harboring unforgiveness in your heart? Is it worth not having God to forgive you? The devil will love for you to remove forgiveness off the table because he knows that God will remove it off the table when it comes to you. We have to be willing to forgive one another. You see, forgiveness heals the soul. And not only does it heal the soul, it helps the other person who have wronged you as well. Some people don't want to forgive until they see you in some pain. They want to see you hurt like they hurt. If you can't hurt like I hurt, if you don't feel what I feel, I'm not gonna forgive you. And people live their lives in misery because somebody don't want to forgive them. I didn't beg them and over again to forgive me, and they just don't want to forgive me, and I don't know what to do. And some folk even get to the point of suicide. Let me tell you something. If God has forgiven you, it doesn't matter who don't forgive you. We got to stick with God. In verse 27, some people are just like that servant. Have no problem accepting forgiveness, but have problems giving forgiveness. You see, he had no problem asking the master to forgive him. And he turned right around and go find somebody that owe him something and won't have compassion for that person. We have to have compassion. We have to have forgiveness in our forgiveness account. It should never read insufficient funds. People don't want to forgive because they want to get even. We say to ourselves, I'm going to balance this scale. You wrong me, I'm going to wrong you. Payback time. But the Bible says in Hebrews 10:30, for we know him who said, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. God said, vengeance is mine. You don't go out to try to get even with somebody. You just forgive them and put them in the hands of the Lord. Because what you and I got to realize that we are people who supposed to go out and win souls. And every soul is important to God. And God, you remember in the book of Hosea that God told Hosea to go out and marry a prostitute. And when he did, and she ran off and left him. Know what God told Hosea? He said, go out and get her. God was demonstrating through that a relationship, how he cared about his people. And every time Israel turned their back on God, God sent prophets to go out and get them back. But it was conditional. What did they have to do? They have to repent. They have to acknowledge they're wrong before God. But God was willing to go get his people back. Willing to forgive his people. When God forgives, we have no alternative but to forgive if we're children of God. The devil knows that unforgiving spirit stops the power of God in the life of the Christian. He knows it will destroy the Christian. Everybody needs forgiveness. Huh? How many times since you've been a Christian, you sinned against God? I don't know about it. Other people don't know about it. But you know your struggles between when you're struggling with the devil, you know you don't always win. And God knows we don't always win. That's why he said that if we sin, then we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, someone who will go in between and plead our case. But we got to ask ourselves, do my forgiveness account have any funds left in it? Peter said, I think I got $3 left in mine. Three times, Lord. Should I forgive him three times? I got $3 left in mine. Once that's gone, that's it. Jesus said, Lord, you're going to have to multiply that. We're going to make sure that your forgiveness account is full and always have sufficient funds when it comes to forgiveness. There never has been a promise that God haven't kept. Joshua 21:44, the Lord gave them rest all around according to all that he had sworn to their fathers, and not a man of all their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hands. God keeps his word. Joshua 21:45, he said, not a word fell of any good thing which the Lord has spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. All came to pass. Think about it. If God tells you that I'm not going to forgive you because you haven't forgave your brother, rest assured, it's going to come to pass if you don't do something about it. He said, if you die in your sin, where I am, you can't come. You might say, what does that have to do with forgiveness? God promised not to forgive you if you won't forgive others. And we can't run around pretending everything all right with us and God. Well, you know in your heart that you're not willing to forgive somebody. And I don't need to go sit on somebody's couch to explain to them why I can't forgive. I don't need to do that because God already gave me instructions. He said, I need to forgive. And somebody said, well, how can I do it? All you have to do is look at yourself in the eyes of God. How many times since I've been a Christian, I have sinned against God? One time only, and that was it. Two times only, that's it. Huh? We'll run out of fingers if we start adding it up. But each time we say to God, God, forgive me. I will never do it again. Then we didn't lie. Because we find ourselves back in the same situation. It's going to have to come a time in our lives, church, where we're going to have to stand before God. And if you're having any unforgiveness in your heart, you're going to have to let that go. I know somebody said, but you don't understand what this person have done to me. But what God have gave you, should that outweigh what anybody have done to you? God has sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. To make us right with him. And you and I got to understand something. We don't decide who becomes saved and not. And that's what we do when we fail to forgive people. Because when that person walked down those aisles, walked down this aisle and you never thought you would see that person again, what you gonna say? That person don't have a right to come down the aisle and give his life to Jesus. They have very much right to give their life to Jesus than you had. Why? Because you put your sin against their sin, and you say theirs outweigh you, so they don't deserve forgiveness. Matthew 6:15. But if you don't forgive others, your Father will not forgive your failures. And we all want God to forgive us of our sin. And we are grateful that God's forgiveness account doesn't read insufficient funds. Because if it did, you and I'd be in trouble. Be in trouble. So we have to ask ourselves the question, what is the balance in your forgiveness account? If it's zero, then you need to talk to God and ask God to make some deposits in your forgiveness account so you can have it to utilize it when you need it. When you need it. You need to talk to God about that. So what have we learned? Number one, we learned an unforgiving spirit will destroy you. That's what the lesson's saying. The lesson says that if you walk around with an unforgiving spirit, it will destroy you and cause you to lose your soul. The second thing we learn from the lesson, God promised not to forgive you if you don't forgive others. That's what the Bible says. You could talk about how loving God is and all this. You could talk about that if you want. But if you are not forgiving people, God said, I'm not forgiving you. The third thing we learn, the lesson telling us, God keeps his promise. When God make a promise, he going to keep it. He gonna keep it. Not like man. Man make a promise, he don't keep it. And sometimes it's not because he intentionally not trying to keep it, but things happen. But see, things don't happen with God. Because God know the beginning and the end of a thing. Nothing can catch God off guard. The fourth thing we learn from the lesson, unforgiveness will stop the power of God in your life. Sometimes we wonder why things are not working out in our favor. Sometimes we just need to go back and check our forgiveness account. It may be reading zero, and you don't know about it. The fifth thing we learned from the lesson this morning, yes, forgiveness is still on the table. It's still on the table. And it's going to always be on the table. And since you and I are not God, we don't have a right to remove it off the table. We don't have a right to remove it off the table. I know sometimes we want to, but we don't have a right. I heard about all the different problems in life and all the racial tension and all that stuff. I know about that. I was young during that time, but I heard about it. But that still don't say that we can't forgive. And if you don't watch the devil, he'll bring those things back up in your life. And have you to start thinking negative. Have you to start saying to yourself, I don't need to forgive this person or that person. And the sixth thing we learned from the lesson, your forgiveness account should never read insufficient funds. Because if it ever read insufficient funds, then your soul is in danger. Soul is in danger. Because God said, I won't forgive you if you don't forgive others. And I don't care if they black, white, red, yellow, green, it don't matter. Don't matter. And you have people in society, even in this community, are trying to cause you and I to have be at odds with one another because of our race. I know that's not never going to go away. I might can't change that, but I can work on me. I can work on me. And that's what we want God to do for us. If you have an unforgiving spirit, ask God to work on you. God will work on you, and God will help you with that. But you know the problem with us? We always asking God in our prayers for things and not asking God to work on our weak parts in our lives. We know what they are. God know what they are. And we wonder, why is God not helping me with this? Because you're not asking him. And when he do help you with it, you're going to have some pain and some struggles. Because sin is pleasurable. And so therefore, you're going to have to be willing to sacrifice to let those things go. And once you make that sacrifice, you'll see God working in your life. If you're a child of God this morning and you sinned against God, your forgiveness account is reading insufficient funds. God is willing to forgive you of your sin. If there's any other sin that you committed against God, God is willing to forgive you of that sin if you acknowledge your wrong before him. If you are a child of God, he makes that promise. You just got to repent. Confess it before him, he'll forgive you of your sins. But if you're not a member of the Lord's church, if you're not a member of the Lord's church, the church of Christ, the one that he sent his son to build, if you're not a member of that church, of this church, then God is not going to forgive you. You're going to have to make some changes in your life. Now, this is how God is going to forgive you if you're not a member of his church. Number one, the Bible said that one must have faith. Romans 10:17. Faith come by hearing, and hearing come by the word of God. What must I hear? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came and he died on the cross. He was buried and he rose again the third day. I must believe that. Then the Bible says, if I believe that, I need to repent. Luke 13:3, Jesus said, I tell you nay, except you repent, you all likewise will perish. Then the Bible says, I need to confess Christ as being the Son of God. Matthew chapter 32, the Bible says that we must confess Christ as being the Son of God. Jesus said, unless you confess me before men, I will not confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. Then the Bible said that we need to be willing to be buried in the water grave of baptism for the remission of our sins. You need to make that decision before you can even have your sins washed away by the blood of Jesus. Only one way. I know people give you other avenues to salvation, but according to the Bible, it's only one way. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then the Bible said that God would add you to his church. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. One church is not just as good as another. I know you hear people say that, but I'm here to tell you, according to the Bible, that's not true. Jesus only came and built one church. Matthew 16, 18. Jesus said, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Only one. And if you want to be right with God and be forgiven of your sin, then you're going to have to come this way. And I know we have people in the church, members, get upset about that. Well, I can't change the doctrine to please you. I can't change it to please you. Only one way I change this. If you can show me from the Bible what I'm preaching is wrong. See, I'm not trying to hide anything. I want to get to heaven just like you want to get to heaven. So I don't have nothing to hide. If you prove I'm wrong, I'll change in a heartbeat. But I'm just not going to follow what you think and what you feel. Nowhere in the Bible anybody was told to say a sinner's prayer. Nowhere in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible that anybody was told by any of God's preachers to say a sinner's prayer and you saved. And all of the apostles was members of the same church. On the day of Pentecost, the Bible said 3,000 souls was baptized, added to the church. Now you think some was added to the Baptists, some were added to the Methodists, some were added to the Jehovah's Witnesses. That can't be true, because those religious institutions were not even existing during that time. So you have to make a decision this morning. Don't worry about what anybody else is going to say about it. Your soul is on the line this morning. You didn't hear the truth this morning. Now it's up to you to make the decision. And if you leave out here knowing the truth and don't do nothing about it, if you walk out there and you drop dead, you're in trouble. You won't get to heaven because you can't change after death. I'm not judging you. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. You got to make a decision. Because your soul is on the line. Too many people are walking around town knowing the truth and not doing anything about it. Even our young people. They come here Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday. They know the truth. But they say to themselves, I don't really have time to surrender right now. You know, I got stuff I got to do. And once I start doing all this stuff and I get tired of it, then I give my life to Christ. Well, who told you you have time to get all that stuff done? If you understand the gospel, you need to make a decision. Don't worry about mama, don't worry about daddy. You got to make a decision for yourself. Because too many people, while you and I have been sitting in here, people have been dying. And the tragedy is dying outside of Christ. There are people you have talked to, people I have talked to, and you know they know the truth, but they're not willing to make the decision. They don't have a courage. They don't have enough courage to give their life to God because they're worrying about what somebody else is going to say. Are you going to allow somebody else to hold you back from eternal life? Or are you going to allow somebody else to cause you to lose your soul? Because that's the amount of it. The invitation is to everyone who is able to understand what the gospel message is. And you only need to hear it one time. You just count yourself blessed over and over again when you hear it over and over again. But you only need to hear it one time. And if you never hear it again and you die in your sin, God is still just. Make a decision. Then the Bible says that we must live faithful unto death. Revelation 2:10. faith unto death. We can say to ourselves all we want, I'm just human. I'm just human, and I'm just going to sin and sin time to time. Okay, keep on playing that game with yourself. But Jesus said, if you die in your sin, where I am, you can't come. We need to make a decision this morning. I don't know where you stand this morning. Only you and God knows. Make that decision that we stand and say,